Well, I'm very grateful to be here with you this morning. It is so good to see such a large number out. Your presence is encouraging, and it is good to see your dedication to what is important, which is serving our God and worshiping our God together. We do have a lot of our own folks that are out of town for the holiday weekend, and we certainly want to wish them the best as they come back. But we've got a lot of visitors with us today, and we are so thankful that you have decided to come and spend this morning with us. We hope that you have been encouraged and uplifted by our time spent worshiping God together. And we hope that you'll stick around a little while afterwards so that we can get to know you a little bit better. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to open them, or maybe they're already open, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at a very short text here at the end of this chapter. And in this text, Jesus is going to tell a short story or a short parable that involves two individuals, and particularly the difference between these two individuals. And this section of text comes at the very end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And so it really serves as Jesus' invitation or his call to action. And so this morning, I want to think with you about what Jesus' call to action actually entails, and look with you at the great promise that Jesus offers to those who will hear him and will obey him. So let's begin reading this invitation in verse 24. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So here's Jesus' parable. Here's Jesus' story. You've got two individuals. And if you were to just look at these two individuals without any context from Jesus, you really wouldn't see any distinguishable differences between the two of them. They both have the same desire. They both want to build a house, and they both go about building their houses. But there is a difference between them. And it's an important difference that Jesus brings up. And this difference comes to light when the inevitable storm comes along and it beats against both of their houses. And so the first man that Jesus describes is a wise man. And he's wise because he's built his house upon a firm foundation of rock. It's not going to move. It's not going anywhere. And so no matter how hard the rain falls, or how hard the wind beats against the house, or how high the floods get, that rock is going to stay right there. And Jesus says that because this man built his house on this rock, it continues to stand when the storm passes by. Well, the second man, he's a little different. Jesus describes him as a foolish man, and he's foolish because he didn't decide to build his house on this firm foundation of rock. Rather, he decided to build on a foundation of sand. And sand, in its very nature, is unstable. The smallest vibration will cause it to begin to move. And when the rain falls down on it, it drills down into it. And when the wind blows, it swirls it all around. And when the floods come, it just washes the sand away. And so because this man built his house on this sand, this foundation of sand, his house becomes like this foundation. When the winds blow and the rains fall and the floods rise, his house does not remain standing. In fact, this is how Jesus describes it. It fell, and great was the fall of it. What's Jesus' point here? How is this part of Jesus' call to action? Well, notice what these two individuals represent. In verse 24 and 26, the wise man is everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. Verse 26, the foolish man is everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. And so Jesus' call to action here is, if you want to be wise, if you want to build on a firm foundation, then you will not only hear my words, but you will obey them, you will do them. So the question is, what exactly is it that Jesus is calling his listeners to do? What is he calling them to obey him in? And what's he calling us to do? What's he calling us to obey him in? And I think the answer to that question can be answered by thinking about the context of this passage. Because, like we said at the beginning, it comes at the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So these words that he's talking about are the words that he's been delivering to them beginning back in Matthew chapter 5. So to understand what Jesus is calling us to do, I want to flip back to Matthew chapter 5 and read a few verses there beginning in verse 2. Because I think here at the very beginning we begin to see what Jesus is trying to say to his listeners. Matthew chapter 5 beginning in verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, if someone from the world were to read that for the very first time, I imagine one of their first questions might be, what is this guy talking about? Because what Jesus has to say goes against everything that people would typically think. The world wants to say that if you want to get ahead, if you want to be powerful, if you want to have a lot of stuff or a lot of money, then you need to be the biggest voice in the room. You need to be willing to roll over anybody who gets in your way, no matter who they are or how weak they are. You need to be willing to stand tall. What does Jesus say? He says, "Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The world views any kind of meekness or humility as a sign of weakness, but Jesus sees it as a sign of strength. The world wants to say that all that we need to be doing here is finding happiness for the short time that we're on this globe. That's our purpose. And yet what Jesus says in verse 4 is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs is the kingdom, for they shall be comforted." And certainly the world is obsessed with conflict and being in arguments and being the one who wins the argument and beating your side of the argument in on the other person. Yet Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And certainly nobody in the world would say these words, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." This is what Jesus is trying to get across. His message is different. He's taking on the conventional wisdom of the world, and he's saying, throw it away because I've got something else that you need to hear. And just to emphasize this point a little bit more, in Matthew chapter 5, 6 times, Jesus begins a section with these words, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." He not only takes on the conventional wisdom of the world, he takes on the wisdom of their religious leaders. He says, "I know what they've told you, I know what they want from you, but you don't need to listen to them, you need to listen to me." And the reason that they needed to listen to Jesus, and the reason that we need to listen to Jesus, is because he is the one with authority. You remember how this whole story ends in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 28. "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes." Jesus had the authority to say what he was saying, and his message was different. His message was a call to action. And so what is it that Jesus is calling us to as we come to his call to action in Matthew chapter 7? Well, if Jesus' message is different, then it follows that what we are being called to obey Him in is being different. Jesus' words are transformative. And He wants us to obey Him and be transformed by them. He wants us to become new people, shaped more and more every day into His image. He wants us to be people like Him. That's what He's calling us to do. That's His call to action here. Be different. Be transformed. And I guess the natural question then would be, well, why would I do this? Why would I hear His words and obey Him? This sounds like a radical change to make. And it is a radical change because not only is it a change in your actions, but it's a change in your whole way of thinking. Why should I hear His words and obey Him? Well, first of all, because He's the one with authority. But second of all, I want to notice with you in our text this morning that Jesus offers a promise to those who will hear His words and do them. And Jesus' promise is that those who will have heard His words and obey them will be given a firm foundation to build upon. And that foundation are the very words of Jesus. The very words of God become the foundation for those who will obey Him and hear Him to build upon. And so if we obey Jesus, then we are building upon the foundation of His words. We will be transformed and we will be different. We will be building upon something that is immovable and strong because the inevitable storms of life are coming. But if we will have obeyed Jesus and His words, then we can rest assured that we will stand at the end of those storms. So in the time that we have remaining this morning, I want to think with you for a moment about God's words and why they are the foundation that we need to be urgently building upon. Because I think that it should build within us a great confidence to have God's word as our foundation, and it should build our faith to know what His word does for us if we will build upon it. So number one, we must urgently build on the foundation of God's words because they connect us to the very source of life. In fact, if you think about it, the words of Jesus have their origin in the Word, and the Word is what brings life. Do you remember what John says in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we know John's talking about Jesus because down in verse 14 he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The words of God come from the Word who brings life. I love the description that the psalmist gives in Psalm 1 of the righteous. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is interesting to me because in some ways it parallels our text this morning. Because both texts leave no room for a middle ground. In our text this morning, you're either the wise man or the foolish man. There's no middle ground there. In Psalm 1, you're either the righteous who are receiving the blessings of being righteous, or you are the wicked and you are receiving the consequences of being wicked. And so notice with me the description of the righteous here in Psalm 1, beginning in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The righteous are like a tree. And when you think about a tree needs a lot of nutrients to grow. Needs a lot of water so that it continues to grow. It doesn't wither. It continues to stay green. And it can produce fruit. Well, the righteous are like a tree that are planted by a continual source of life. A continual source of water. So that they do not wither and they continue to grow. And notice with me what it is the righteous are doing, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. That's God's word. Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and because on his law he meditates day and night, that's why he is like a tree planted by a continual source of life. And that is exactly what happens when we make the decision to obey God and build upon the foundation of his word. We are connected to the source of life, and he will provide for us what we need to withstand the storms that are coming. Secondly, we should urgently build on God's word as our foundation because Satan cannot stand against them. Satan wants us to build on the sand. He wants to easily push us over. He doesn't want us to have a firm foundation to stand upon. But if we will build upon God's word, Satan cannot stand against us. You remember the famous story in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. Remember, Jesus comes up out of the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit takes him into the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he doesn't eat anything. And the text says that he was hungry. Jesus is in a physically compromised position here. And that's exactly when Satan comes along to tempt him. And his first temptation hits right at that hunger. In verse 3, the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." What's Jesus' response to him? "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written." The second temptation, the devil takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and he says, "Throw yourself off." And he even appeals to scripture here and he says, "He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." What is Jesus' response for a second time? Again, "It is written. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And for a third and final time, Satan takes Jesus up to a mountaintop. And he shows him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he says, "I'll give it all to you if you will just bow down and worship me." For a third and final time, Jesus says, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus appealed to God's word because Satan could not stand against him. And in verse 11, it says, the devil left him. Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what will happen for us if we will build ourselves upon God's word. If we will appeal to God's word every time that Satan brings a storm into our lives, every time he comes to tempt us and to make us fall, if we will appeal to God's word and if we have built on God's word, Satan can make no impact on us. Because we are firmly standing on the words of Jesus. And finally, we need to urgently build on God's word. And this one is perhaps the most comforting to me because they don't change. That's why they're immovable. That's why it's like a rock. And they don't change because the one who utters them doesn't change. Notice what God says about himself in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Jacob isn't consumed because God does not change. We are not consumed because God does not change, and the words that come from him do not change. Notice what the Hebrew writer says about Jesus in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And Jesus has this to say about his own words in Matthew 24. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Everything around us is deteriorating. We're deteriorating. And at some point, all of this will come crashing down. But Jesus says, one thing will remain, my words will remain. And so if we will build upon God's words, we are building upon something that will not move, it will not shake, and it will not falter. If we will just hear Him, and if we will just obey Him by being transformed, by becoming more like Jesus, and by being different. God's Word is a powerful foundation for us to build upon. And praise God for His wonderful promise. We haven't talked a lot about the second man in this parable. He was a foolish man. And he made a critical error. Because he decided to not hear the words of Jesus and not to be changed by them. He decided to build upon something else. And I will tell you what happens to this man here is exactly what will happen to us if we decide to build on anything other than the rock of God's Word. Because this man built upon sand that moved and shook. And when the storms came, it could not stand. And if we build on anything other than God and His Word, we can rest assured that we will fall. And great will be our fall. We sometimes sing the children's song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock," and we get to the very end and it's almost a very joyful and happy, the house went splat. This is a serious thing that Jesus is talking about here. To fall is a serious thing. And so I want to urge all of us this morning to hear the call to action by Jesus here. To be different, to be changed, to be transformed more and more every day into the image of Jesus. So that we too can take advantage of the benefit that comes from building upon the firm foundation of God's words. If you're not a Christian this morning, I hope that you understand that this is your situation, this second man. That you've chosen to build your life upon something other than God. And you can rest assured that when the storm comes, you will fall. But God offers this promise to you if you will just hear Him and obey Him. That He will provide for you a firm foundation to stand upon. We want to urge you to do that. We want to urge you to hear His words, to hear His call, and to be changed, to obey Him by repenting, by being baptized for the remission of your sins. We urge you to do that this morning. And if you are a Christian and you've substituted your firm foundation for a foundation of sand, again, you've made a critical error. And it's a serious thing. We want to urge you this morning, as you have today, to reestablish yourself on the rock of God's words, to hear Him and obey Him. And we want to help you do that however we can, whether it's through prayers or talking or studying with you. We want to help you reestablish yourself on God's words. If you have any need this morning, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing together.